This is HPR episode 2858 entitled, Vehicle Designer for a Space Game, and is part of the series, Haskell. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 23 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Tutoto talks about modeling vehicle designer for their space game.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, you are listening to Hackepapel Radio and this is Tuturto. This episode will be about designing a vehicle or vehicles in my space game that I'm writing in Haskell. So every space game needs tons of vehicles, and I have been working on a designer for designing them. And this is just a tool where you can design all kinds of vehicles. They can be land vehicles, airships, spaceships, like literal spaceship with sails, Talos armors, these sort of like a mech, much smaller, some sort of mechanical switch. I haven't fleshed out the details yet for that, and Icarus switch, which are flying, as the name implies, flying suits. And I have been thinking if I need a blue water ships and submarines, but haven't decided those yet, and they can be added later if needed to. And this ties into the episode 2818, where I talked about the research in the game. So first you need to research some technologies, and that technology unlocks things that you use for designing the ships. Or vehicles, rather, and what you gain from research is different types of chassis and different types of components, and those are the pieces that you use for designing the vehicles. So you take a chassis and then you add in the components, and the result is a blueprint that you can then use for building them. This episode will be more about how I modeled the data, and maybe I do another episode later where I talk about how to use that data, and I try to read as little code as possible because that's a bit hard to follow on a podcast. So there's a major parts. I think the basic piece is the component. So vehicles are designed using components. This can be like star sails, astrolabe navigator, long range sensors, and so on. And each component in a blueprint is defined by two values: component ID and component level. If you know these two values, you will know rest of the values. So the component ID is just a enumeration stating these kind of components they are. It could be a ship long range sensors or ship bridge or vehicle wheeled motive system or vehicle hover motive system if you are building a hovercraft. And the component level tells the quality of the component. So when you first research something, you get a prototype components. And when you further research it, you get more improved components. And I haven't written that part yet, but I have been sketching the idea that if you design a, let's say, car using a prototype components and produce it. Then that produced car will have some faults, like it could run slower than you anticipated it would run and use more gas and heat up more and things like this. And if it has a communication system, that communication system would be poor quality, it would have static in the sound and things like that. And when you continue researching the components further and you build the same car, then you get a much more refined. It's the same blueprint, but now you know how those, now you have more improved components, so now it runs faster and uses less gas and things like that. Like you have figured out how to use the technology. And the component itself has a bunch of values. These are all listed in the show notes. It's easier to follow there. But basically, there's the component ID. That's the identifier for the component. There's the component level, telling the level of it. Then there's the name and description. These are just stating what it is and short description what it is used for. Weight, obviously how much it weighs. Each chassis has a limited amount of weight it can carry. Slot, component slot, this states where that component can be installed. Like some vehicles have more space inside than others. Some vehicles, especially if those are for armed forces, have more slots for weapons than civilian vehicles, and so on. So this states in what slot this component can be installed into. There's the list of component powers. These are just sort of description of what the component actually does. Like it states if it's a star sale or if it's a supply component producing a supply or carrying supplies for you, or if it's a sensor component. And again, the level of the power. So if you have some really sophisticated component, it could perform multiple functions. It would be stated here. And then there's the cost as a raw resources, and then the chassis type that tells on which kind of chassis this can be installed to. You cannot install components meant for the big spaceship into your small car, light vehicle, and you cannot use components that are meant for the your Talos armor in your Icarus suit. Okay, so those things define the components. And here I have been trying a new thing. I have been trying to have types for everything. Like, for example, component name is normally, I mean, previously I would have chosen text. So any text can go here, but I defined a new type called component name that is essentially text, but it has a different type. So now when I'm handling component name and component description, both are essentially text, but they're different types, I will not mix them up accidentally. The compiler will give me an error that you mix these two things up, you need to fix that. And let's see. And then there's one important function related to the components called component requirements. This takes one parameter, component ID, and has a value of maybe technology. And this tells you what technology is required to unlock this component. It's just a case. I think that case, collection of cases, like like I have a couple lines. It's component requirements, SIP long range sensors equals just high sensitivity sensors. And then the next line, component requirements, SIP bridge equals nothing. So I have to handle each and every component ID in the component requirements function and produce for each and everyone of those maybe technology. So in the example, SIP bridge doesn't need any technologies. They are unlocked when the game starts, but long range sensors need high sensitivity sensors research. And this is what you perform in the research section of the game. So I think that's enough for the components. Then the chassis. One thing I probably should clarify: that all components are hard coded. They exist solely on the code. There's no way of adding new components without modifying the source code. But then next to the chassis, these are stored in the database. It's a little bit more complicated than hard coding, but it's quite a bit more flexible. Again, the show notes have a detailed definition of the both database table and the actual data. But the basic idea is that there's a name, then there's the weight of the chassis, stating how much weight it can carry. There's the chassis type, this tells you if it's a land vehicle or spaceship. Technology required to unlock this one, if there's one. And then there's a bunch of slots as a slot amount. There's a armor slots, inner slots, outer slots, sensor slots, weapon slots, engine slots, motive slots, and sales slots. These tell you how many of that given type there's a slots in available in this chassis. And the inner slots are for the components that are inside of the hull. Outer ones are for the components that are outside of the hull. Like inside would be things like bridge and quarters and such. Outside would be sensors, for example. Then there's armor slots, obviously, if you need to install armor on your ship or vehicle. This is where it goes. Then the sensor slots. I have a sensor slot separate from the outer slots. Okay, sensor slots is for the sensors and outer slots is for things that are for outside of the hull. Maybe if you have some sort of crane that you can use to lift things or load things that could go outside slot. Weapon slots for various kinds of weapons. Engine slots, if you have a engine on your vehicle, this is where it goes. Motive slots, these are more abstract. Like if you have a land vehicle, you can have wheeled motive system, or you can have a tracked motive system, or you can have a hover motive system. Maybe I'll come up with more. And these tell how the vehicle moves. Does it have wheels or does it have tracks? And sail slots is for the star sails. This is mainly only for the starships. And not all chassis have all of these available. Some have, like, those sails are only for the starships, for example. Then the chassis might have some requirements. For example, the Wally, that starship, is perfectly happy with just a single star sail. But Flyboat, which is another starship, is designed to be fast and always has to have two star sails on it. So when you're building, you have to when you're designing, you have to fulfill these requirements. Otherwise, the design isn't valid. And these requirements further characterize the different kinds of chassis. Like, if you have a science ship as a chassis, you can have a it might be that it has a requirement that it has to have at least 5 slots of sensors in use, because it's a science ship, and it might have to requirement that it has to have a space for a laboratory. Okay, actually designing the vehicles. Oops, I think I almost skipped one. Then there's these requirements. They are stored in the required component database table, and they are represented as a required component data inside of the program. Again, these are in the show notes, but it will have, because it's a database table, there's a chassis ID linking the requirement into the specific chassis. There's a component type and component level and component amount. These three values state which component, what level, and how many are needed to fulfill this requirement. For example, with some small ship, it might be enough that there's a level 1 bridge. It's enough that there's some sort of bridge, and that fulfills the requirement. But when you have a big cruise liner that sails around the star system, ferrying passengers, then you have to have a level 2 bridge, for example. Like you need more sophisticated bridge to handle such a big ship. And again, all these values should have their own types. So the level is instead of integer, it's presented as a component level, so that I don't accidentally mix them up. Actual designing of the vehicle. So, based on the complete research, you get a list of chassis that are available. And from that list of chassis, you pick one. And that defines what kind of vehicle you will be designing. Is it a land vehicle? Is it a spaceship? And what kind of spaceship it will be? Is it a small spaceship, or is it a huge spaceship? Is it a fast or slow? Is it meant for the civilian use, or is it meant for the military use? Is it a research ship, or is it for trading? And based off that selected chassis and completed research, you get a list of components that are available. And then you select what components to install. And you have to keep track of the maximum tonnage of the chassis, that you don't exceed it. And that there's enough slots, and that, so that you don't, if your ship has a space for 3 inner slots, you don't install 4 inner slots. And then you have to keep track of the requirements. If the ship requires 2 star sails, you have to have 2 star sails. And then you also need the name for your design, and save that to the database. And there's your brand new designed starship, whatever. Designs. They are saved in the database. There's 2 tables. There's the actual design table that has a name, owner, and chassis. So name is the name of the design, for example, SS Enterprise. There's a owner, that's a faction ID that links the design to a specific faction. You cannot use designs of a different faction. You can only use the designs of your own faction. You can maybe try to gain access to another faction's designs for example, by trading or by espionage or something, finding a derelict ship in a space, hauling it back and reverse engineering it. And then there's the chassis ID that defines which chassis this design uses. And this is a link to the chassis table. Components that are designed, are planned for the design are in a planned component table. Again, there's a design ID linking to that specific design, component ID stating which component, component level stating what level of component has been planned for this. I'm not quite sure about this actually. If I should store the component level at all, because this allows you to build a ship using a prototype components, even if you have a higher level components available. And I don't see why would anyone want to do that, unless it is that the components, prototype components are cheaper than mass-produced ones. And I don't think that's the case. But that's something I'll be thinking about and figuring out what it is exactly that I want to do with this stuff. And then there's the amount stored as a component amount, telling how many components of this one are planned. Because when you're building a design, you're handling components as a, they're pretty abstract. Well, abstract maybe not the correct word, but they're not individual components are not important. You can have, for example, 10, okay, 10 is bit max. You could have three sensors, like three sensors, and you just clump them together and treat them as a group of three sensors. But when you have a actual ship that is sailing around, then you have to treat those sensors individually, because one of them might get damaged and start malfunctioning while two others are working fine. So here you can group them together, but when we are later on building our real those actual vehicles, then we have to treat components as a individuals. And here I again have defined amount as a component amount, level as a component level, like this. There's a, even in the database level, I'm trying to use types that have been defined, defined to have a specific meaning. Previously I would have used amount as an indexer, but now I'm trying to use the component amount. But I will probably in the next episode I will explain a little bit more about how I did this and why I did this and couple things that need to be done to enable this. Okay, but that pretty much wraps up this episode. So there's a, you do research, you gain access to the components and chassis, then you use those chassis and components to design your vehicles. And later on you can use those designs to build them. If you have any questions or comments, the best way to reach me is either email or from at Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social. And even better is if you record your own episode and publish it at the Hacker Public Radio. Okay, that's about it. Thanks for listening. Ad Astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.